Hello, and welcome to the Incandescent Radio Network. I am Hope Katz-Gibbs, founder of Incandescent. And I am here today with my good friend, Tracy Schott, my new good friend, who is the creator of Voices for Change, an important, important organization that is determined to stomp out domestic violence. So welcome to your show, Tracy.
Well, thank you. It's so exciting to have my own show.
Well, you're awesome. Tracy is a filmmaker. If you haven't read about her in Incandescent Women magazine, she did a powerful documentary. One of the leading causes of murder during leading causes of death during pregnancy is murder, which just took my breath away when Tracy reached out to me in May to tell me about her amazing work. And since then, we have had many, many, many conversations. And today we launch her Voices for Change radio show. So Tracy, I'm going to throw it over to you. Tell our audience a little bit about what you are doing.
As Hope said, In 2011, I started working on Finding Jen's Voice, the documentary film. We released it in 2015. And since that time, it's had a lot of audiences. It's been to theaters. It's been in film festivals. It's been to many conferences. And what we figured out was it was a really good tool for teaching people about domestic violence and really creating awareness about intimate partner violence and homicide. So about a year ago, I partnered with a group called One Gen, and their goal is to change the world in one generation using digital technology. So I thought that goal kind of matched up with my own personal goals. So we decided to do Voices for Change as a digital platform. And as COVID happened and we all got kind of stuck in our own little worlds, it became very clear to me that the digital platforms are really powerful, but you have to get the word out. So I reached out to Hope and, you know, it was really serendipity that it happened. And now, you know, we're working together on this radio show and some other projects. So it's really exciting. And our goal really for Voices for Change is to raise awareness about intimate partner violence and gender-based violence and look for ways to change our society's response to violence against women primarily. There is violence against men is obviously a thing as well. But over 90% of all cases of intimate partner violence are perpetrated against women. And I'm a woman. And that really bothers me. I was fortunate enough to, you know, grow up in a family where there was not violence. And my expectation is that everybody should have that experience. And we should not be afraid for our lives in our own homes.
Absolutely. I don't think anyone would disagree with you. Go back a little bit to when you first became aware that murder was a thing when you're pregnant. You know, it's hard. It takes my breath away to think about that that's even a possibility that a man would harm a woman when she's pregnant with his child.
I mean, this film came about shortly after I started my own production company, and a young woman named Jennifer Snyder is the niece of a friend of mine. And she had been murdered the week before. Her aunt Trina called me, and she was on her way to Jen's funeral. And she said, "Did you hear what happened to my niece?" And I said, "No." And she proceeded to tell me this story that she had been in a almost 3-year relationship with a veterinarian that she worked with. Jen was a veterinary technician, veterinary nurse. And worked together with this doctor who she fell in love with. He was married. He, of course, told her they were separated and he was going to be with her. You know, anybody who's been around an extramarital relationship has heard these lies before. But she believed him. And she found out she was pregnant. And when she approached him and told him, called him on the phone and said, I just took a pregnancy test and I'm pregnant. And he flipped out and told her she had to get an abortion. And she said, no, you don't have to be in the baby's life. Nobody needs to know, but I'm not having an abortion. I'm going to have this baby. And a couple of weeks later, he came back, apologized, said, I'm sorry. I want to be in the baby's life. We're going to have a life. We're going to have a family. I'm really divorcing my wife this time. And a few days later, she was dead. And he had murdered her. He shot her 3 times and left her body in a ravine wrapped in trash bags and drove home to his wife. And so my friend Trina is on the phone telling me this story. And she said, I think we should do a documentary film and tell the world about Jen's story. And at first I just really wasn't sure that why, you know, like I don't do crime. This is not really, I didn't see the big picture, but you know, I'm a multitasker at heart. And I was sitting at my computer as I was talking to Trina and I just Googled pregnancy and homicide. And I saw these studies showing homicide to be the leading cause of death in some cases and a leading cause of death in others to pregnant women. And I couldn't wrap my head around it. I couldn't believe, first of all, we had just come off of 5 years of the Scott and Lacey Peterson case in the nightly news, and nobody was talking about the research. They talked about how Scott Peterson was this handsome guy who just snapped, you know, as he, you know, murdered his wife and dumped her body 40 miles away in the San Francisco Bay. You know, it was a really... the media reporting about this subject was terrible, and it continues to be terrible. These cases are not shown in the light of a pattern of behavior. They're sensationalized. These murders are sensationalized, and people really don't get the full picture. So I was on the phone with Trina and I'm reading these studies as she's talking. As I said, I'm a multitasker. And I heard the words come out of my mouth. You're right. We need to tell Jen's story. And I don't know if you know this about me, Trina, but before I was a filmmaker, I was a social worker, and I'm the right person to tell this story. And that was how the journey began.
And Finding Jen's Voice is such an amazingly powerful film. People can watch it, they can stream it through your website, and we'll share that information on our Facebook page. And of course, in this video, which will also be on YouTube and as a podcast, our first podcast, our Voices for Change radio show. I've had the privilege of talking to many of the women who have survivors in your film. One of the women that I was introduced to, Brandi Reese Sloan, she tells this horrifying story. She is in Austin, Texas, and she is a musician. And her husband came home one day and she was pregnant, and he beat her with the aluminum bat that she used for protection, broke her hands, her arms, her face, and killed the baby. He's in jail. And on the magazine, and also on my book, Why Divorce, with these survivor stories, she talks about, she wrote a letter to him, how she still is fearful and how that trauma has, you know, as you can imagine, never ceased to subside. And now she has another baby. And so her life has moved on 10 years later. But talk a little bit about the women that are in the film who have survived and how they've learned to cope.
Well, you know, when I started doing Finding Jen's Voice, I was struggling with putting a face on Jen. You know, she was gone. She was one of those unusual 27-year-old girls who was not always taking selfies and in a bunch of videos. There were very few photographs of her. There was hardly any video of her. I don't think there was any video that I could use of her. It was really hard to tell Jen's story And so I knew that I needed other survivors who had, had similar experiences. So I actually did a Facebook posting both on the National Network to End Domestic Violence and the National Coalition Against Domestic Violence Facebook pages on the same day, on a July morning in 2014. And I said I was looking for survivors of intimate partner homicide attempts, and was particularly interested in people who had experienced abuse during pregnancy. That day, my Facebook page exploded. I got 1,000 likes on my page in a day, which blew my mind. It was clearly like something is going on here. I ended up speaking on the phone to 35 women around the country and even outside the country. I was talked to somebody in London and Australia, Barbados. They all told me similar stories. They were very different people. It had different experiences, but when they described their abusers, they were describing the same person. Like, this is a personality disorder. You know, like these people, there was this pattern of behavior that they taught me about. And so I had spent a lot of time talking to researchers and professionals who provided services in the domestic violence space. But these women, that eventually 11 of them participated in Finding Jen's Voice, they taught me, they really taught me about domestic violence and what it really feels like to live in that relationship, and how it's not about black eyes and broken bones. It's about a controlling relationship that whittles away at your self-esteem over time and isolates you from the people who might support you. So that by the time the black eyes and broken bones come, you're really stuck and it's hard to get out. And for many women, unfortunately, the way out is through their own deaths. Because one of the things that they've found through research is that the most dangerous time to leave a intimate partner violence, a domestic violence relationship, is when you leave. That is when you're most likely to be killed. So, you know, the media, your Aunt Sally, everybody wants to know, why doesn't she just leave? Well, it's not really very safe. These women have taught me so much about their experience and taught me that for most of us, we're only a couple, you know, that whole 6 degrees of separation. Most of us are only a couple of degrees away from experiencing intimate partner violence. And in the United States, 27% of women will experience intimate partner violence, physical abuse, in her lifetime. 27%, that's more than one in four. So, you know, if you're sitting in a room with three other women and you look around, you statistically, one of you is going to experience violence in a relationship. And that's horrifying. Yes. It's truly horrifying.
Truly horrifying. And it's also a perfect segue into you talking a little bit about what the show is going to be that you're hosting. And I'm going to back you up as the producer. Our mission, right, is to bring out as many voices as possible so that we can all stand together and end this, because the only way we can do anything is when we link arms and say, we're going to put an end to this, right? So that means helping more women feel better about themselves, having the courage, right? We're going to interview some really, truly amazing women. So tell us a little bit about the guest lineup that we will have in store for our listeners and viewers.
So we're putting our guest list together. I think as we speak, before we went live, we were talking about it. Some of the people I want to introduce are some of the women from the film. Also some other advocates and researchers that I've met in my travels around the country over the last 5 years. One of the first people I'm interviewing is Kelsey McKay, who is a former assistant district attorney in Austin, Texas, who is an expert on gathering evidence and prosecuting domestic violence offenders. She developed something called the strangulation supplement, and her insights into men who strangle women, it's kind of horrifying, but also fascinating and very illuminating in terms of understanding the domestic violence relationship. I've also got Kelly Devine, who is the artistic director of the Global Peace Film Festival. And I met Kelly at the Global Peace Film Festival when Finding Jen's Voice was shown there. And she's got a very interesting film festival in which they are working to use film to engage communities in conversation to help us better understand each other and work toward peace. And I thought that Kelly, you know, Kelly has been a consultant of mine on this project as over the last 4 or 5 years. And it's been really interesting to see how film can engage people in conversations. So I'll be talking to other filmmakers as well, because, you know, we have something to say, which is part of the reason we become filmmakers. Most of us don't get rich being filmmakers, you know, but we're dying to tell stories, right? I also feel like it's very important for this show to amplify the voices of survivors of intimate partner violence. And that is one of the missions of Voices for Change as a movement, is that too often the voices of survivors get drowned out by voices of perpetrators, or people who just don't listen. And I learned so much from the survivors in my film. I want to give other people the opportunity to learn from them, as well as learn from other survivors. So there will be a recurring guest that is always somebody who's a survivor of intimate partner violence who can teach us something. And in general, you know, I'm really interested in how gender impacts our communities, and how we can use this platform and Incandescent Women to really help our community, our society, our culture elevate itself beyond some of the violence and pettiness that is currently really dominant in our society. You know, we're a week away from, not even a week away from the violence that happened in the Capitol last week. And, you know, it's horrifying to watch that happen. But I have to read you something. Lisette, who is in the film, she's going to be interviewed on this show next month. But she wrote me something, and she said I could share it. So I want to share it with you. Mobs of armed, angry white men threaten and will likely descend upon state capitals around the country to assert their self-perceived dominance and hold the country hostage. Now you know how every woman who's experienced male violence feels. Do you hide or stand up to them? Do you call them out or try to placate them? Do you educate their defenders, saying it was a one-off, or settle to know your own truth? Do you move this way or that way? Are they idle threats, or will they carry them out? They've shown you what they're capable of, but then they blend back into normalcy. So is it safe to breathe yet? I close with my favorite saying: once you know something, you cannot unknow it. Every American now knows what every survivor of partner violence has known all along. This is what these guys are capable of, and the degree of burn it to the ground, take no prisoners destruction they live to carry out. Sound sleeping is going to be a long time coming. You always have one eye open. It's a very powerful statement, and it speaks so much to the survivors that, you know, I've worked with, who that experience of being taken hostage and not having control over your own safety, that I think we all experienced vicariously last week in watching the situation at the Capitol, the rioters at the Capitol. That is a very similar experience to what domestic violence survivors live every day.
Yeah, it's breathtaking. And Lisette Johnson is just an amazing voice. She was shot by her husband when she threatened to leave. Her father was also shot. Her children were watching. Her story is breathtaking, and yeah, she is so strong. She was in surgery for hours and hours, and she wrote a story for Incandescent Women on the anniversary of that. And it's just so powerful and breathtaking and devastating. And so we're going to start unpacking all of this. We're looking forward to interviewing so many of these amazing people who are role models for us, truly. And you, Tracy, you know, I'm such a big fan of yours. You are a role model because you're standing there and you're saying, you know, we're going to put an end to this. So I thank you.
Thank you. And thank you for your support and this platform that you've given us to really kind of share this information with the world. I reached out to you because, I don't know, there was just something about, I found you on LinkedIn, for Pete's sake. And there was just something about you that made me think this is a kindred spirit. And I think maybe we can change the world together.
You're speaking my song. Yes, thank you very much for that amazing compliment. And it is my privilege and honor to help raise the voice. In fact, Cynthia De Lorenzi, who is also my collaborator on Incandescent Women and my co-author in the 2021 What's Next Journal, which will come out this month, she and I are going to be interviewing a woman that I would also like to bring on your show, Laverne Gordon, who runs the Love Life Now Foundation. And in February, she has the White Ribbon Pledge, which is a pledge that I just am so impressed by. Men say, they put up their hand and they say, I will never touch a woman in violence. And if I see anyone else doing that, I will report them and stand in the way. Awesome. So that to me is right amazing. So we'll bring on Laverne and we'll bring on so many other amazing people. And Tuesdays on Facebook is the time that we will start doing this. This is our first. We just kind of did it spontaneously. We were going to just record it, but we said, let's just go for it. So here we are, Facebook Live, January 12th, Tuesday. Tune in next Tuesday for our next episode, which will also be recorded, available on our incandescent.tv channel and Incandescent Radio. So we'll end today on that note. Thank you so much, Tracy Schott. Tracy's in Pennsylvania. I am in New Mexico. So we're spanning the country trying to raise the voice and make voices for change, something that we all aspire to be part of.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you. All right.
See you next time.
See you next Tuesday.